Our co-sponsor for this program is Universe Spirit, providing education on Job 1 for humanity, climate restabilization.
Come visit universespirit.org and learn more about the great adaptive challenges and transformative evolutionary adventures of our future.
It's March 8th, 2016, the day before my mom's birthday would have been. But this is Inside Out, the Naked Truth, and we're coming from the Santa Cruz Mountains of California, specifically from Lupin Lodge, where clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked. And I am Errol Strider.
And I am Rochelle Alicia Strider. And we welcome you to our home at Lupin Lodge. We invited you over tonight with some conversation about the human condition and what to make of it, sprinkled with laughter, good music, and a few surprises.
Our program is sponsored by Go Raw Natural Foods, healthy and delicious, and by universespirit.org, one of the powerful forces behind readying ourselves for this enormous climatic change, which is actually upon us as we speak, the beginning stages. Tonight, here we go again. Not only does that apply to our weekly program, but it's the subject of said program. I had a conversation with a Zen Buddhist who had been practicing Zen Buddhism for over 20 years. Ran into him in a park in Boulder. And I asked him, what have you learned through all this practice? And his answer was, what comes around, goes around. So there you have it. Just take this presidential race, for example. Well, here we go again, giving our power and money away to our image of someone who we believe will solve it for us. Whatever the it is. But there's a difference between spinning in a circle and spinning in a spiral. One is called revolution, and the other is called evolution. So as you listen tonight, you'll find out perhaps which kind of rotation you're on in the whole phenomenon of cycles. After all, everything is spinning, and tonight's conversation will put a new spin on. Here we go again.
I really like that, what you said. That was really neat. Revolution and evolution. I liked that image a lot. So thank you for it, Errol dear.
No problem.
I really had this spin on here we go again. Here we go again. My body and brain in accord to greet a new day. My choice to greet it with love or skepticism, to see it brand new or bring yesterday's images into it, to see humor or darkness, to be able to laugh at the darkness, each day, again, an opportunity to expand my consciousness, open my heart, grow my soul, connect with another, love it. Here we go again. Love it.
I love it, too. I love spinning. I've always been fascinated by spinning. I remember when I'd hold a tennis racket in my hand, for example, I would see how many times I could spin it and catch it by the handle or a ping pong paddle. And, of course, when I became a dancer, I loved spinning. I practiced spinning all the time. And I had a Bulgarian ballet teacher, George Milanov. And he was like squatty, like rough guy who drink vodka every night and like call me Jesus Christ Nijinsky because I had beard at the time. And he would say, hey, Jesus Christ Nijinsky, you do 5 pirouettes, I'll give you $5.
Did he?
I never did.
You never could do 5?
No, I was happy if I could get 2 and really good. 3 was like a day of blessing. 4... I could have translated into heaven right there and then. That's the way it is. it's just wonderful the way we are able to enjoy and appreciate all the different ways that we can go round and round and round, don't you think?
Well, yeah. Like you said, we don't go round and round. We go on a spiral. Go round and round, but it's spiralictic. Is that a word?
It is spiralictic. That could be our word for tonight, spiralictic. And breaks down into spiralictic, spiralictamos, spiralictan, spiralictu.
That's a dead language.
The spiralictic language.
Yeah.
You know, I met some people. I was downtown last week hanging out at the coffee bar, and I actually met some people who spoke spiralictitis.
No.
Wait a minute. No, it was a disease. That's right. It was a disease they had, spiralictitis.
Very funny, Errol.
Couldn't remember which it was.
He's just a silly man. I have to remember that all the time. It's like somebody has, well, I don't know, like a lisp. And you just say, well, he's got a lisp. Errol, I say, he's silly. He's just plain silly. Plus, he wants to be silly so that you can laugh.
Speaking of wants to be silly so we can laugh, we bring on the German professor, Professor Schnitzel. He's a ball of laughs. How about that for an introduction, Professor Schnitzel? I bet you never get that kind of introduction.
Oh, why'd you say that? Why wouldn't I get it? Sure, I can be funny. It's just like other people. Just because I'm German doesn't mean there's no sense of humor. Admittedly, it's deep and buried, but it is there for the finding if you know how to carve it out. But about the subject here, which is, here we go again. Notice that the people are going around the planet right now. They're not only going around the planet, they're doing pretty much the same things. The other day I was sitting there just thinking about all the things going around at that very moment. People talking, eating, working, defecating, making love, going to school, educating on the phone, off the phone. This is all happening right now. And that was the then now. Imagine what's happening in the now now.
I don't have to imagine the now now. I'm in it.
Sometimes we say to ourselves, now, now, which is a good way of reminding yourself to stay in the now, especially when you find yourself getting carried away in the ego. The ego is the part of you that gets carried away, running as fast as it can away from the now, because in the now there's no life for that part of you, because it depends upon time to keep itself separate from everything else. That's just the ego.
Thanks, Professor. I like that, the now now. We talk about this a lot because it seems to be kind of like our core message, which is that we are here in the now. Although we did have, speaking of here we go again, when we ran our gathering in Boulder, we had hundreds of people come through there gathering, and we had a dogma. We've shared it with you before, and I think it's worth going around again with it, which is, what was it? You remember. It was me. Oh, I remember. Wait, it's coming back. Here we go.
We had this dogma. What was it? Let me see. Do I remember?
I had several different dogmas wanting to stand up and be the one that I chose, but really.
We had agreement on this one.
This went, strip down, get real, connect with God, Source, mm-hmm. bond with each other, create, and serve.
Yep.
And I started to say subscribe, but I really meant subscribe to that point of view. If you've got a better dogma, by golly, bring her on.
We'll feed it.
We'll take it, because that particular dogma just seems like...
We'll even walk your dogma.
Here we go.
Sorry.
Again. It's another night of silliness.
Well, this is the way I look at it. There's something very sweet about going again, because you wake up and there isn't again. If there wasn't an again, you would be dead. So here we go again, has a vitality to it. It has life to it, and I think that's why I enjoy it.
And it's great to sing about it. This is an example of a group called Jaybird and the Sparrowhawk. Here we go again.
I'm floating on down the river, like a billow without a paddle, like a baby in his mama's arms, feeling lost without its rattle. I've been counting the stars up in heaven on my fingers and my toes, shooting arrow into the future, where it lands I do not know. Round and round the earth keeps spinning, it's enough to make your head spin too. Take my hand and we'll dance in a circle, it's about the best thing that we can do. Have to tell you I have a feeling that you and I through this before. Little spark of recognition, here we go again. I've been sitting on the banks of the river with a banjo on my knee. Get to wondering what the water's thinking when it finally meets the sea. Too easy to be crushed by your burdens, victimized by a heavy load. But if you're lucky, there'll be someone to help you if you carry down life's long road. Round and round the earth keeps spinning, that's enough to make your head spin too. Take my hand and we'll dance in a circle, it's about the best thing that we can do. Have to tell you I have a feeling that you and I through this before. Little spark of recognition, here we go again. Sitting on the banks of the river with a banjo on my knee. Get to wonder what the water's thinking when it finally meets the sea. All the vastness that surrounds us, what's the odds our paths will cross? You got me falling like a star from the heavens. We found what once was lost. Round and round the earth keeps spinning. It's enough to make your head spin too. Take my hand and we'll dance in a circle. It's about the best thing that we can do. Have to tell you I feeling that you and I did this before. Little spark of recognition, here we go again.
Here we go again. Yeah. By Jaybird and the Sparrowhawk. Love that. I had a title for two characters that we thought of doing once. A Knee Jerk and the Fear Guy.
I remember that. I was talking about you to someone and saying you're the kind of person that if you do something a number of times, you automatically want to change it. There's something in you, I want to change it. Or find new things in it, but I don't want it to be the same. I was saying it to this woman, and this woman said, I'm just the opposite. I want it to remain the same. I don't want it to change. I can really see how, for a lot of people, that's very disconcerting. It's scary because if you keep changing things, I mean, what will it be like? But if you got something, you know, and you just keep repeating it, you have control over it. The other way, you're out of control.
Okay, here we go again. The other way, I'm going to talk about my new job, why I love it so much, because I get to clean. I like the bathrooms and the yurts where people come and stay here. And the mess is always different.
I've never heard that one before. That's funny. The mess is always
it's
different.
It's always different. You've stayed at a hotel, you leave a room, and you don't leave it the same way the next guy did, like the way they leave their covers or their towels or their junk. I cleaned one place the other day, and it was just filled with the most interesting little tiny objects. But fortunately, I have a good sweeper. Although someone borrowed the sweeper, I mean, these are the trials and tribulations of being the housekeeper here. Sometimes people borrow things and forget to give them back. I had a lady do that today. She ran up to me. She was so apologetic because she'd forgotten to bring the vacuum back for my use. But I couldn't judge her because, as I said to her, unfortunately, I'm inclined to be the same way. What can I tell you? Thanks for bringing it back. It's easy to forget.
Go into this thing of like shame. There we go again. We do it again and again.
How'd we get to shame?
If she had to apologize, obviously she was in shame.
Well, wait a minute. I'm not sure it's always apologizing.
Yes, of course. When you're apologizing, you think you did something wrong.
So that would be knee-jerk then.
That would be shame.
Right.
You have a shame thing. Of course, you could do it very differently, but apologizing is very civilized. I mean, you could do it with a swack at somebody.
Do you ever notice you catch yourself doing the same thing over again? I had actors in a workshop do an exercise based upon the line, "I can't believe I'm doing that." They had to do some improvisation around, "I can't believe I'm doing that." And one guy, he was a funny guy, he got up and he pretended opening a refrigerator and looking in. And he was kind of a chubby guy. So you knew that was something he would do often as he opened the door going, "I can't believe I'm doing this." It's our compulsivities that just kind of get a hold of us and drag us around.
They do. I love the way you said drag us around. It's like they take us for a walk and they make us stop and poop in different places. We're run by things. I like to think that all we're here for is to get out of the box.
Well, that's an interesting way of looking at it. The box can get very uncomfortable. What do you think, Professor Umbridge? I saw you trying to get into the conversation. What do you got? Oh, delighted. Yes. I was so excited about your subject for this evening, oil phrase. Here we go again. Because there are just countless things that just keep coming round and round and round. But you did point out something very significant distinction earlier, my good boy. Oh, yeah? What was that? Well, you were talking about evolution versus revolution. Now, some people just think the difference is an R, the letter, at the beginning of the word.
I got you.
Oh, very good. Thank you. See, they don't understand what the R really is, you see. It stands for revolt, and it could easily stand for revolting. They kind of work hand in hand, that kind of brother and sister. Revolt is, you'd start a revolt, which leads to a revolution, because you are revolted by a situation that you're enduring that, well, it's just revolting, of course. Here we go again. Let's start another revolution. It's interesting about revolution. It just comes around what goes around. But this idea of evolution, it doesn't just land backwards, started on the circle. No, it's expanded out in a spiral. It's become more inclusive. It not only includes the thing that was revolting, but it has turned it into grist for the mill, fodder for the creating poo-poo. Speaking of that,
the mushrooms.
For the fertilizer, for the mushrooms. There you have it. There you are, listener. Are you a revolting little life there that's revolting, or are you surpassed revolting and have gone on to something that's more transcendent, which is the fact that yourself is ever expanding as fast as you will allow it, as you let go of all your resistances as they come up one by one? One.
I totally agree with you. You know what's interesting having our grandchild is that I get to watch her do what everyone has done. Here we go again. She's crawling. This human is crawling. This human is learning to walk. And to watch the stages of the developing being on a physical level is so fascinating because everybody's done it. So here we go again with another human being doing the same thing. But we look at it as if we've never seen it before. That's how marvelous it is. That's what awe does for us. When we're in that space of seeing something that's so wonderful, it brings us right into the moment.
We had another one of those moments with her the other night where we took her over to her changing table. Will there be a poop in there or not? We were so excited to see.
Oh, silly man.
And then we saw the poop. It was perfect. It was just what you'd hope and expect.
Wasn't exactly where I was going with that, but poop, you know, when you don't have it and you want it and it's there, is marvelous.
It is marvelous. But the fundamental thing here, as the professor pointed out, thank you, by the way, is that things go in circles. And I think it's great to remember and kind of step back out of the circle and see where and how they're going.
Sunrise and sundown, the moon rolls through the nighttime till the daybreak comes around. All my life's a circle, but I can't tell you why. The season's spinning round again, the years keep rolling by. It seems like I've been here before, I can't remember when, but I got this funny feeling that I'll be back once again. There's no straight lines make up my life, and all my roads have bends. There's no clear-cut beginnings, and so far no dead ends. I've found you a thousand times, I guess you've done the same. But then we lose each other, it's just like a children's game. But as I see you here again, the thought runs through my mind. Our love is like a circle, let's go round one more time. Oh, all my life's a circle, sunrise and sundown, the moon rolls through the night time till the daybreak comes around.
Harry Chapin.
Made me think of every sunrise and sunset is unique to the day ending and the day beginning.
I love what he has to say. The moon rolls through the nighttime till the daybreak comes around. All my life's a circle, but I can't tell you why. The season's spinning round again. The years keep rolling by. I think I know why. Why it's spinning? Okay, this is a theory, but it's based upon my study of Teilhard de Chardin. We have talked of him on several occasions. You know, Marcel, we have a French waiter that comes on. You know Teilhard's work. Well, we have studied him. I had a job as a waiter, but at the night, Teilhard said it so well, and I think if I may jump in here. The reason they are spinning is Teilhard talked about the two different kinds of forces. There was the, what he called the tangential force. That's for things to take off on a tangent. Like when you go off walking down the street. But you don't just keep going on a tangent, he said. Would say, because you wouldn't truly walk off the earth. And that's because there is another force. That is the radial force. And it pulls you towards the center. So you have the impulse to go off a long rock off the planet, but you have the same force pulling you to the center. And that is the radial force. And the only way they can get along is by making circles and spinning. The one is pulling out, going the other way, and the other is pulling it in so it wouldn't leave it. So it won't feel lonely. The center does not like feeling lonely, so it keeps the tangent from going off and leaving it all by itself.
That is why we are spinning.
Well, that's a very interesting theory, Marcel. I don't know that I can dispute it because I don't have the scientific facts to see that if it's real or not real. But the thing is...
What is the thing?
That it's a theory. I love that you have a theory about it. Not everybody has a theory about anything. They just have the chatter of things that have happened.
They keep coming around and going around.
Yeah.
Here we go again.
But the investigation of like what makes us be the way we are. You know, here we go again. We're doing this. I have to add, being who I am. Why? Why are we doing this? Why are we spinning? What does it do? What does it create? And if we are spinning, and maybe that's why I get dizzy all the time. Sorry, I didn't get any laugh out of you on that one.
Well, I was thinking about you getting dizzy all the time. I did have a story of something that happened to me when talking about what comes around, goes around, and you spiral around. Did you ever have the experience, OE listener, of something happened and then a version of it came around later in your life? This was a small incident, but it was a wonderful example. When I was in high school, I played basketball. I was on the sophomore team. I looked like I'd be really good. People always said I had great form. I wasn't very good, but because I realized I didn't have good form, that's why I became a dancer.
You didn't have to make a basket.
That's right. No baskets required. I did have to lift up a lot of girls, though. So we were playing basketball. I was in the game, which wasn't very often, and I stole the ball. I had quick hands, and I batted it out of somebody's hand, and I started down the field, dribbling toward the basket, and I kind of lost control of it, and I threw it up, and I missed the basket. Well, years later, when I was in a fraternity, and we had a basketball game between the pledges, I was a pledge, the guys are the new guys, and the actives. We had a basketball game with them, and I was defending this guy who happened to be on the track team, Ricky Beldner of the University of Missouri. He was really fast. Redheaded guy. I slapped it out of his hand, and I was going down the court, being trailed by one of the fastest guys on the campus, mind you. And I remembered that other scene, and I was determined to make that basket. So I took an extra step, and I went up, and I put it in. And I felt like I'd been redeemed. I had come around again, and this time I made it work.
Whoa. Oh, Errol, that's a wonderful story. I never even heard that story. Is that true?
Yes. Yes, it is true.
Well, that's really neat.
Don't you have a story like that in your life or something?
No.
You don't?
Redemption.
No redemption?
Basketball?
Well,
yeah.
I don't mean by basketball, but something that's come around again in your life.
If it did. If I even could remember it like that, I don't know. My life, I felt like something that got caught in life, born in life, caught me and said, come on, have an adventure. It took me with it. It seems like I never kind of calculated what's going to happen next. It was always like, oh, that's what's next. Okay, let's work with that. I somehow think that that's my life, been like that forever.
It grieves me, though, when I think about the amount of pain and suffering that we unnecessarily cost ourselves out of cruelty, etc. That is a pain. What about that, Rabbi? We've talked about this before, all that kind of dark side and the pain, suffering, cruelty. Well, of course, you have that other side growing and happening to you. So that you should learn from it a couple of things. The main thing you're learning is compassion and patience. There was a fellow who put together a seven-hour program about the Holocaust. I forgot the name of it, but spent years over there in Auschwitz and Treblinka and other places, and a lot of time. And so someone asked him, what did he learn from that experience, like your Zen Buddhist fellow? He looked at them and he stopped and he said, patience. I've learned patience. And so you think about it. What is patience? that we keep coming around, I'm learning it. And one thing I've discovered is there's no short course in patience. You have to wait to learn it.
You have to have patience to learn patience.
That's right. It says, wait, you'll get there soon enough. Your friend, he says, if you stand in line long enough, you'll get to see the movie. Remember that?
I do remember him saying that.
Yeah, thanks, Rabbi. Yeah, Stu, he was quite a guy. He lived in the tent in the woods as long as I knew him and came down to town. We've talked about him before, but he was like a guru. He was something else.
Well, he was a guru to those who had ears to hear. A lot of people could just have seen him as an unbathed bum living in a tent in the woods, a homeless person. And those who could listen to him and hear his wisdom received it, and it was very inspiring and very heartfelt. There's another, here we go again, with how we perceive things.
I just have to say, Stuart once said to me about being homeless, he said, people say I'm homeless, but the fact is I've got 4,000 acres here to take a shit. Hard words to that effect.
I don't think he would have said like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. We had 4,000 acres to use the restroom.
As his bathroom. And I remember him saying it like that.
So I took some liberties. Here we go again.
Yeah, ironic that you take liberties when you are a man of patience and
compassion. You see, I had these things.
I don't have patience. I've developed more patience than I ever had, but if I could think it, I wanted it there or now. And most of the time it was, and when it wasn't, it was like, well, okay, when is it going to be?
Or you could be like blood, sweat, and tears.
Spinning wheel spin. You got no money and you got no home. Spinning wheel all alone. Talking about your troubles and you never learn. Ride a painted pony, let the spinning wheel turn. Did you find the directing sign on the straight and show you the colors that are real. Painted pony on the spinning wheel ride. Someone's waiting just for you. Spinning wheel, spinning through. Drop all your troubles by the riverside. Ride a painted pony, let the spinning wheel fly.
Blood, sweat, and tears, spinning wheel.
I loved that song when I first heard it, and I still love it. So here we go again, loving the same wonderful song.
What goes up must come down. Spinning wheel, gotta go round. Talking about your troubles is a crying sin. Catch a painted pony, let the spinning wheel spin. spin. Remember Rumpelstiltskin?
I do.
We had him over for dinner, like, when we lived in Chicago.
We did live in Chicago, but I don't remember Rumpelstiltskin.
I do, because he was such a fussy eater.
I think that was you.
Well, that was me. Well, I always kind of identify with Rumpelstiltskin. For those of you who don't remember Rumpelstiltskin, for a while he owned the Buffalo Bills.
That's not true, people.
He was the storybook character. He spun a thread into gold, didn't he?
But it had to do with saying his name.
She could figure out his name.
Then something would happen, something good.
He'd spin it into gold.
Or disappear. I don't remember. Because I can't remember it. Is it a perk or a disadvantage to have your memory going?
Well, I would like to say this about that here. And we're talking to you out there. And I'm so happy to be on this show here with Errol and Rochelle. This is Barney. Of course, this is Inside Out, The Naked Truth. Here we go again. We have so many people that are doing the same thing. And like, here we go again generationally. I mean, there's another thing there. You have the father, for example, was a wife abuser, and then the son's a wife abuser. And the biggest here we go again that has to be interrupted with the new pattern is the very dysfunctional ways we treat ourselves in the family system. I know a lot of families where I live. You can just see this guy's going to treat his kids just like his father did, because that's the only way they knew him. And that's what it means. The sins of the fathers are passed on to the son, because they keep perpetuating the same behavior until someone wakes up in some generation.
And they do. That's how we advance.
And they break that cycle. While so doing, of course, they're creating and perpetuating their own cycle of dysfunctionality, because they're not fully evolved yet either. But they've made a break from what was on an ever-progressive, evolving process of discovering more and more who we really are, and not the least of which is how to get along with each other.
It's interesting you said discover who we really are. Some people might think, well, this is who I am right now. I'm blood, sweat, and tears, the name of this group. Other people see us as an evolving being, a work in progress, so to speak. And therefore, we're changing all the time. And I know that's true, because I know that I started out just like my granddaughter. And today I look and act and think very differently. So I know I've been changing as I've gone along.
So you say...
I beg your pardon.
That was another show.
Here we go again. He's being silly.
Speaking of being silly, I want to go back to this thing about the two forces, like the force of you're taking a walk and you're going off straight, but you don't fall off. There's no end of the world. There's no end. You get pulled back in and held firmly by gravity, that mysterious force.
I'm really grateful to
aren't
that,
you?
Too. Wake up in the morning and can shoot out the door somewhere.
There was a movie. It was called The Man Who Knew Everything. And it was like a 50s movie. The scene opened with this finger coming down from the sky, mm-hmm. and the gods deciding to give one person all knowledge.
Wow.
And then he had it. And of course, he started creating, making up these worlds. He could have anything he wanted. Mm-hmm. Right? He knew everything. And then it got to a point where it was just too much. And he said what he wanted. He said, I want it all to stop. So I want gravity to stop. And so there's this scene where they're all flying off the earth.
Wow. That's what made you think of that movie.
Yeah. And then they're all flying off. And then he said, I want things to be back the way they were before I had this power.
Wow.
And that's how it ended. He couldn't handle it.
Because he wasn't ready for it. And I think that's the most important thing. Like our son said the other day when I said, he's walking in a year's time. And he says, yeah, but think of a horse, you know, who comes out of the womb of its mother and walks right away.
And talks.
But the thing is that the way we're constructed, if we came out of the womb and started walking right away, we wouldn't be able to handle it.
We'd bump into things.
Exactly.
Because we'd have no sense of what was going on. Imagine yourself as a little baby just walking around, but you know nothing.
You haven't sensed anything. I'm so aware that Ella senses things more than figures them out. Trial and error, too. She drops a cup, and then she looks at it and she realized that if you hold it this way, you get the water from it, and if you hold it that way, you don't. She's beginning to learn that which way she gets the water.
We'll look back. Maybe you have looked back on your childhood and see the circling nature of it. This is a song by Passenger called Circles.
It's been years since we carved our names on a clock tower door before everything changed. We were big-eyed boys with the salt on our skin, and we'd throw our kites to the wind, and they fly on and on and on and on and on and on and on, on and on and on and on. Whispered soft with the torchlight on and the big light off. We were tired boys with the soap on our skin, and we'd fall asleep to the wind, and we'd dream on and on and on. We circles, you see. We go round, round the sun, in and out like the sea. I'll circle round you, you will circle round. Torchlight thins and the clock tower's gone and the big light dims. We'll no longer be boys, we'll have lines on our skin, and they'll throw our dust to the wind.
Passenger, circles. That last line is something, of course, when you're our age, you relate to in the years when the torchlight thins and the clock tower's gone and the big light dims, we'll no longer be boys. We have lines on our skin and they'll throw our dust to the wind.
What I'm becoming aware of as we're doing the program is that we're much more comfortable with revolving in circles than spirals and evolving. We're not as comfortable with spiraling, but we're much more comfortable with circling. Maybe it just feels safer.
I think you said it before, darling. And this is Father O'Malley. And that is, we like to be in control, or like to think we're in control, as we sometimes realize, though, that it's an illusion, this control. When you think you're controlling something, we tend to forget that when you're controlling it, it's controlling you. That you have to keep a hold of it in order to stay in control. And so you're being controlled as much by it as it is by you.
I totally agree with that, Father.
And so that locks you into a kind of a form of slavery between you and the controlled thing. What we're talking about here, and we've spoke of it on other shows there now, which is that we're not wanting the control, but it's the command that we're being offered. Because once you know you're one with all, and you settle into that, then every desire you have is going to be consistent with the nature of the all. And so as soon as you desire it, your word is the command, and it just is. So you're right back in the now, where you started and where you get to come back to all the time. But
You know what you can bring to the now that the now doesn't have? All that past. Mm-hmm. So when you bring the past, and that's not filtering the past, like with your judgments and unforgiveness, mind you. That's like bringing all the past into the now and displaying it for the now to look at and let the now have its way with it. And you know what the now will do with all that past? It'll see it brand new and fresh. And in so doing, it will turn the past into the present. And that's how it works. Here we go again.
I like that. That was fun. Thank you, Father. And we can't help but bring the past into the now because we are sum and substance of everything that's come before us. Always we're bringing the past into the present. Can't help it.
Speaking of sum and substance, here we go again. I'm going to quote something from the Urantia book.
Here we go again.
It says, this is one of the most profound things I ever read in that book, and it's got a bundle of profundities in there. They just line up waiting to profund your socks off, if you let them. But this one, because it's about the sum and substance, and it says this, it says, the sum and substance. It says, even though the spirit of truth has been poured out upon all, we're almost wholly limited in our ability to receive it by what amounts to the sum and substance of that incarnated being that was known as Yeshua ben Yosef. Somehow he was able to embody and articulate the sum and the substance. So you've got quality and quantity pulled together in a dynamic equilibrium where both are able to expand on themselves and reach out into newer regions of discovery, at the same time working together so that the quality and the quantities of life, the things that are measured, and the qualities which are the immeasurable values, like love and devotion and respect and justice, parallel to all the things of life that are manifest through time and space, and to bring those in a perfect alignment. And from what I understand, that is precisely what we're being invited to partake of by the same aforementioned self, Yeshua ben Yosef, that we can be that too. He was just like a prototype.
I would put it in much simpler form.
What would that be?
That's what I said before. If we were like filter, let's say pure love, we have a filter of pure love, and you want to say that it was embodied in Yeshua, but it's a filter. And everything that comes in to us through all our senses and everything else goes through this filter, and all that doesn't belong to love is caught in the trap, so to speak. You can discard. And what's left is that purity of soul, which is love. I was talking to this young man today, I think I mentioned that to you, who said he was a spiritual teacher. And I said, well, what do you teach? And he says, well, I believe I'm here to heal souls. And I thought that was kind of interesting, since I don't think the soul needs healing. The soul is like maybe immature, but it doesn't need to be healed.
Because it eats well. It eats go raw food in soul form, because that food is so pure, you're just not going to get it. Souls lap that food up. Let your body join them. Go raw.
Absolutely. Yeah. That was a wonderful way to do a commercial. That was fun.
You can get it at Whole Foods, Safeway, Trader Joe's. Go raw.
And Costco.
Who could forget Costco?
I just realized that. Here we go again. Those of us who have an impetus of spirituality want to heal the world. That's part of our youth. Then there's a point where we realize that in order to do that, we have to, quote unquote, heal ourselves. We have to be an example. You know, I think of some gurus who would just like one big smile. And yeah, when you're in their presence, you wanted to be like them because it seemed like a happy place to be.
Speaking of happy place to be, that's why I'm so grateful to be housekeeper number 50761.
He made all this up, by the way.
No.
In fact, somebody said, what does he mean, housekeeper number? And I said, he's making that up. It's a joke. Oh, they were taking it seriously.
I remember that after I wrote it, I thought, these people are going to take this seriously that I put this down here.
They don't have our sense of humor, a lot of people.
Lucky them.
But there are people who have senses of humor, but it's not our sense of humor.
Well, you listener out there, do you have our sense of humor? Is that why you tune in regularly? We hope you'll join us. Our other sponsor is universespirit.org. Here we go again.
Awakening us to the impact of climate destabilization. I like the word awakening.
Here we go again, talking about the inevitability of climate change and how we have to get ready for it. If you start getting concerned about it and you want a clearinghouse, a resource to be able to put you in touch with what's going on and what needs to be done, give them a try. In the meantime, we are like so grateful to be able to be here and to express this amazing discovery. I love it, the tangent, the now, all the great things we learned tonight. So, in honor of Here We Go Again, what do we have to remember, Rochelle?
Resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
Here we go again.
Yes, indeed.
Our co-sponsor for this program is Universe Spirit, providing education on job one for humanity, climate restabilization.
Come visit universespirit.org and learn more about the great adaptive challenges and transformative evolutionary adventures of our future.